Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Everybody, and welcome back to the Chilluminati podcast, episode 41. As always, I am one of your hosts, Mike Martin, and joined by my two good friends, aka not skinwalkers, Alex Fasciane. How's it going, bud?
Speak for yourself. I might be a skinwalker.
You did shave your beard, so I am nervous.
Yeah, and last time I got up and got killed and replaced by a skinwalker. So
it's also, I mean, we don't know that did not happen.
Yeah,
is the thing.
That's all I'm saying.
And witness to such an event is also our other host, Jesse Cox. What's up, my man?
I mean, I'm not a skinwalker, but like, I'll walk all over your skin.
I like
that's some Buffalo Bill shit.
Alex,
that's some Buffalo Bill shit. I'll walk all over your skin, baby. I'll turn into a bear and I'll climb inside your body.
Alex's disapproval was like, mm-mm.
Did you guys hear it?
I am already sad.
Did you guys hear it?
Gross.
Wednesday, February 9th or 5th or whatever it was, 9 p.m., the C-Day.
I was going to ask how everybody's C-Day went.
The C-Day prayer? Did anybody get contacted by extraterrestrial entities?
I'm not going to lie. Last night, I was outside. I may have had a little something in my hand, and I was enjoying a really nice cold night. And I looked up, and I saw the moon and the stars. And out in the distance, I saw this orange little light. And it was really slowly moving towards me. And I was watching it through the trees, and there was a part of me that was like, this is it. I'm finally witnessing a UFO. This is so weird. And I was entranced. And then it got close, and I could see the blinking lights of the plane, and it just went over. And I was so sad.
In the distance, you heard that song. The second star to the right shines every night for you.
So unfortunately, I did not hear that song either, and that would have made my entire night. But nothing happened. I got nothing. No contact. How about you? Did you too? Have any alien contact?
So what you're saying is you had the same alien contact everyone else who has had alien contacts has had?
I don't believe. Listen, I'll be honest. Jesse. Not everybody.
Listen, I took it serious, okay? I lit a candle. I got a little vibe going with the music, turned the lights down low. I earnestly repeated the prayer 2 to 3 times. And regardless of what happened, I'll tell you this. I felt fucking great.
Regardless, you know what I mean? So nothing happened. Regardless, I mean, of what happened.
Did anything happen? No. I don't know. Maybe it did. I don't have a beard anymore. You know, I'm just saying. True. You never know.
What? The Men in Black pinned your ass down and just shaved your beard.
I don't remember. They're notoriously good at wiping memories, at least according to Will Smith. And
I guess that's a great segue into what today's episode is, boys. You know, we had our
seatbelts on. Making of Men in Black the movie.
Exactly. Will Smith is here, everybody. How's it going, Will Smith?
Ha ha. I'm good.
That's hot.
That was your Will Smith?
Dude, you got a great Will Smith? Oh, damn. There you go. Damn.
Well, while
he has like 3
episode,
phrases he says in every movie.
Well, you know, everybody has their catchphrases, dude.
Yeah.
You know, Sonic is chili dogs or something.
Yeah.
Have you seen the Sonic movie yet?
No, I heard it was pretty good, though.
I did.
Me too. I heard the same thing.
It was an all right cinematic experience.
Hey, that's the best we've heard about a video game movie in a long time.
That's a ringing endorsement to my
really
ears.
It really is. But anyway, as we said, last episode, you know, let's rewind a little bit. We brought you back. I had you buckle in. It was a ride and a half. We learned about Barker and all these other people and where we believe that the, well, at least what we know as modern day Men in Black originated from. Today on episode 2 and the final part of the Men in Black series that we're doing here, it's all about theories. What the Men in Black are, who they are, why are they here, and all the different reasons people have come up. Now, this may surprise you or not surprise you, Jesse, but it's going to be a bit of a loosey-goosey episode because, hey, there's not a whole lot of really good evidence as to the Men in Black and why they're here. There's a lot of, like, encounters and reports, but there's no, unlike aliens, where we have this vast mythology of the different species and why they might be here and the workings of the government. The men in black, out of all of it, is they're your classic spooks. There's not much there to go on. So it means deep diving and looking for anything you can to find out what you believe the Men in Black are.
Oh,
now
yeah,
there's going to
be a great episode.
There's going to be some some of the heavy common stuff, which we'll start out with right away. The stuff that most people think that, you know, if you are a true believer in some regard, this is what you likely believe, but there is some crazy, crazy stuff. And one of the things we're going to talk about, of course, is Dan Aykroyd today.
Yes!
I'm so excited.
Yes!
Dan Aykroyd. We're gonna talk about his encounter with the Men in Black and how that might tie in with governments. Don't laugh, Jesse! Don't laugh! I had some of his Crystal Head vodka over the past week, by the way. It was pretty good.
I can't help it. Look, Dan Aykroyd fluctuates on a spectrum of, like, genuinely entertaining to supremely crazy. And
aliens are real, dude.
I just want you to know that I can't wait for whatever this is going to be.
I can't wait for Men in Black Episode 2. If only the movies had stopped after 2, you know?
The movies should have kind of stopped after 1.
Yeah,
totally real.
That's true. But we did get to see what's-her-name from The Practice make fun
Laura
of her
Flynn
own.
Boyle?
Yeah, oh her my own. God. She made fun of her own, like, anorexia or whatever in
Is
the movie.
Is this on the third one?
No, she's the in the second movie. One.
Okay,
she's the villain.
It's been so long.
It's the one with Johnny
she
Knoxville.
And Johnny Knoxville, yeah, are the bad guys.
Oh my God, I don't remember this
she
at
lifts
all.
Up her shirt at one point, and you can see a slice of pizza in her stomach from outside of her body, like Anaconda.
Like Anaconda.
Like Owen Wilson's body in Anaconda. When it's like...
She might be a Men in Black. It's who effing knows?
Alex just did a great visual gag that no one can see.
So here's some fun things we're going to talk about. But the first thing is, if there's one thing that runs true among all Men in Black encounters, no matter the theory that we talk about today, the Men in Black are always there for a very specific reason. To usually threaten you into silence, or at least convince you to stay quiet about whatever it was that you saw. Usually in modern reports, it is the UFO. But we're actually going to start by going back even further, where we may actually have one of the truest first encounters with the Men in Black. Now, there are some stories in 1400 and 1500s Europe that maybe, but we're not going to talk about those because I could not find anything physically there. But
okay, shut up. You were not about to tell me, like, in the Renaissance, Leonardo DiCaprio created the
Leonardo DiCaprio?
He was there. He was there, dude. I'm telling you.
Once upon a time in Hollywood, star Leonardo DiCaprio.
He's immortal, dude. He is a
He's
man
like
in
Doctor
black.
Who. He's like, pull yourself to the time stream, Teddy.
That's like Keanu Reeves, more like. He never ages.
I meant Da Vinci, but DiCaprio's just...
all right. Well, I was thinking DiCaprio. However, I am going to pull you back into the 29th of February in 1691.
Shut
Salem,
up.
Massachusetts, to a testimony.
I believe him because he's from nearby.
I live in this area. I'm not too far. A testimony during
a Salem witch trial
against an Indian slave by the name of Tituba.
No, it's not Tituba. Heard. Fuck it. It's not.
By the name of Agent K.
Oh, shut up.
Can I help you? Can I help you?
I think this is where Tituba's from, right? Like the occult nature of the word, the name Tituba.
Oh, shut up.
There you go. It's the beginnings, dude. It's the beginnings of it all. There's a large, large interview. You can actually read the trial and the questions and the answers that she gave. And it's fascinating. And but again, a lot of it's the Salem witch trials. And as we all, you know, people are going to confess to things in the middle of being tortured.
Tituba,
so not to
of
die.
The Crucible Tituba. Famed Tituba. Who is now a character in movie and TV.
Tituba, right. Dressed in black. Remember that. Her, just in case we have a face to face and make contact.
It's actually because of this trial, 19 men and women died and were hung in some way because of her confessions and the like. But while she was being talked about whatnot, this particular men in black, that if you even want to consider them men in black in this era, weren't connected with UFOs, much like they are now. In fact, they were much more connected to devil worship and magic back then. And they were sometimes seen with other creatures. So in this particular cutout, we're going to talk about I'm going to read you this interview. It starts with the judge, and then it goes to Tituba and goes back and forth. And it's just a short little thing. So
people hang by out, me, T-I-T.
She's being interviewed about a woman that she was watching by the name of Sarah Osborne. And she's being asked right here, what hath Sarah Osborne? What did Sarah Osborne have with her at the time of being seen? And Tituba replies, yellow dog. She had a thing with a head like a woman with two legs and wings. Abigail Williams, that lives with her uncle Paris, said that she did see the same creature, and it turned into the shape of Good Osborne. Potentially Skinwalker? We don't know. Then he asks, what else have you seen with Osborne? She continues to say, another thing. Harry. It goes upright like a man. It hath two legs. And he goes, did you not see Sarah Good upon Elizabeth Hubbard last Saturday? And she says, I did see her set a wolf upon her to afflict the persons with this maid, did say that she did complain of a wolf. And then it finishes up with, like, what else she saw. So, what's interesting about that is she believes, or at least she's speaking, that the person who stood up on two legs, potentially Man in Black, they were dressed in all black, but she was also seen to have a hairy creature that stood upright on two legs with her, potentially. The theory goes that that creature could also be a man in black with none other than a Bigfoot.
What? Wait, what do you mean with a Bigfoot?
So she saw this person with dark clothes standing and get up like a dog, standing on two legs, but with them, and I quote, she had a thing with a head like a woman on two legs. Hairy, it goes upright like a man. It hath only two legs. So the thing that she saw also had a hairy man with two legs that stood upright with them.
And it was wearing a black suit as
they
well?
Was not. It was just the person that was a man in black, and then what they believe could be a Bigfoot or a Sasquatch with them in the back as well. And that is the earliest record of anything that you could consider a man in black.
That's like the monster mash.
But this is going to be important later on when we talk about potentially men in black not necessarily being government workers, but more of a conjuration of the collective unconscious. I'm assuming the two of you have heard the word tulpa before.
No.
Tulpa.
Okay, so a tulpa in the West, think of it like a mind creature, something that's brought to life through your thought.
Yeah, I know this. This is like kind of like what some people say poltergeists are, kind
poltergeists,
of, right?
Poltergeists, yeah, but tulpas can be kind of seen as poltergeists as well. They're also attached to a lot of out of body experiences. Buddhism is very heavily attached to it. But basically, tulpa, just to give you a quick rundown, is the idea of a creature just being created via mental powers. It's really just thinking something into existence, like a really hyper intelligent imaginary friend. The danger of a tulpa, though, is that if you empower it too much, it can kind of become cognizant of its own. Existence, and then become a separate being and separate itself from the person.
So is that what Tinkerbell is?
Thought form is another word for it. That kind of thing.
You know, Tinkerbell dies. She dies, and then you have to like believe in fairies.
I guess, yeah, very similar. Yeah. I guess you could say that Tinkerbell is a weird form of tulpa that is brought to life with just believing, right?
Yeah.
But let's start at the top. I know I kind of dove in, but I really wanted to bring back what is the first recorded quote-unquote experience of what some believe to be one of the earliest encounters of a man in black.
I just want to point out before we move on from the Salem witch trials.
It is
known that Tituba later recanted her entire confession because she said
beaten
and abused by I think her master at the time.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Reverend Paris. So, like, you know, just put out there before everyone's like, the Salem witch trials are men in black.
Man.
I refuse to believe this. I refuse.
That's why I said at the beginning, before I even said, hey, remember, man, you know, people were coerced into a lot of things beyond saying a lot of things that weren't true because they were being tortured.
Are you kind of implying, like, that the men in black are kind of like thought police?
There's also belief that they might even be time police.
Interesting. Okay, so imagine you're Tituba. You come upon a Bigfoot.
But you're not, because Tituba
but
was
maybe
beaten
you are.
By her
imagine,
master and forced
imagine
to tell
this
story.
You were. Imagine
oh
you
God.
Were.
Oh my God.
Okay, imagine you were, and then you saw a Bigfoot chilling with like a men in black.
This is why no
in
one
the woods.
Trusts the government because of this shit right
just
here.
Just imagine. I'm just saying. And then you have a secret. The guy comes and talks to you. He pulls out a silver thing from his pocket. He tells you to look right here. You go, bam. And then all of a sudden you wake up and you're like, why did I say all that stuff? That's crazy. That would never happen. This must have been.
They meddled with the mine and they made her blame her owner.
Yeah.
End of story. So, theories is what today is. It's a loosey-goosey episode. We're going to have some fun. And we're just going to start with the most boring, mundane theory of them all. That men in black are nothing more than employees of the government.
The U.S. government, yeah.
The U.S. government. The theory that UFO knowledge and aliens are so important and so secretive that if word got out, society would fall into absolute chaos and dismay. That no one in our right minds beyond our true believers like myself and Alex and Jesse would probably be okay. That once alien knowledge came out, all world governments, all order of structure that we have on this planet would fall apart. And that we would no longer be able to push forward as a species because a lot of people's belief in religion and in gods would truly fall apart at the realization that you are not the only things that God made, that you are not special in the way that the Bible or whatever holy book you read has made you out to be. And so in an effort to keep people at least under some semblance of order and control, the government had created the secret wing of the government where the men in black operate out of that go out when they hear wind or word that somebody had an encounter, whether it be extraterrestrial. Sometimes it might have to do with reality bending events or weird dreams or whatever, or cryptid encounters. And they are there to make sure that those people are kept so quiet. Moreover, the men in black are such an insane thing to describe the way they look, the way they act, how they just showed up and stopped you. No one is ever going to fucking believe you, and you are just a crazy person to the normal public. They're ensuring that no matter what you say, even if it gets in the newspaper, it just becomes something that brushes over the collective conscience of society and people move on with their lives. And we have seen that with the release of UFOs videos, the government acknowledging it, and nobody giving two shits about it.
Well, it's just because most people just don't believe in aliens because the men in black have been doing such a good job all these years.
They're so good at their job. They're so thorough.
Since John Proctor's trial.
It's all because of Tituba's trial.
Yeah.
Tituba wasn't even on trial. She was just a witness. These false facts. These false facts. She was only one of four witnesses, and the other four witnesses didn't tell as good a story. Her story was coerced. I will fight for Tituba till the day I die. Tituba did nothing wrong.
Honestly, I believe the idea of them being, like, if we're being serious,
yes.
of all the things that I've heard about Men in Black, the idea of there being, like, a very cocksure government agency that's totally off the books that would, like, visit you. Like, look, the mob does this. You know what I mean? I've just been watching that McMillions. Have you seen that?
I have not.
You guys are aware of what it is? It's, like, from 95 to 2001, there were, like, no legitimate winners of the Monopoly game at McDonald's. It was all like this weird like mafia plan.
Oh, I vaguely remember something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so for that to happen, right? The mafia guy and the guy who was like getting the game pieces had to like organize this entire group of people all across the country, theoretically, who all would like play their part and do their thing, and they would visit them regularly and like strong on them into doing exactly what they want. And to me, that's an effective way of getting something like this done. And if you are, let's say you are like in the Majestic 12, like let's just say like you're overseeing human alien relations, and you can't use the normal avenues of government for this because anything that you would do normally would be on record. You know what I mean?
And all this cannot be known.
Yeah. Going, even doing something like, you know, I've heard like the gas smell, you know, like
the sulfur smell.
Yeah, the sulfur smell. Like maybe it's like some type of almost like how the Scarecrow in Batman uses.
Yeah, it's more like an intimidation thing to make you feel sick, to kind of get you off your rocker.
And then this guy shows up and he's like, listen.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll kill everyone you know if you don't do that. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That, well, to me, is very believable, and it's the exact type of thing that, like, you run into a crazy person, you know. I'm from LA. I see crazy people all the time on the street and stuff who, like, want to come talk to me. Maybe that's just me. Like, I don't know why people want to come talk to me all the time, but, like, so many people I could see who could theoretically be strong-armed into something like this, and it only serving to amplify their already paranoid beliefs. Yeah. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be paranormal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It actually serves the government better for people to believe it's paranormal, because then it just muddies the water even further and makes it more difficult, if that's something we want to go with.
Right. That doesn't seem like Tituba level crazy to me. Yeah.
Exactly. And it's the same. It's the reason it's one of the most accepted theories, if you believe the Men in Black exist at all, is that they would be an arm of the government. Now, it doesn't explain why they look so pale and they lack lips and eyebrows and they have no real joints and muscles. They kind of just look like this, like, smooth skin. But also, that just, you know, who fucking knows if that's just something that's been kind of layered on top of the myth as it is, if you want to believe it. But we're going to actually dive over to Dan Aykroyd from this point, because this is the easiest jumping point to get into Dan Aykroyd's encounter.
It's really a similar story to a similar story to what's his name, right?
From last episode.
I keep wanting to say Arnold Palmer, but I know that's not right.
No, it's not Arnold Palmer.
That's just a delicious beverage.
Because he's not, like, it's not what you might think, Jesse. And it might even be something even easier for someone to believe. But we're going to jump back into 2002. Dan Aykroyd in 2002 was working on a documentary for the Sci-Fi Channel with a number of recognized names in the world of ufology, including Linda Moulton Howe, Stephen Greer, and John Mack.
And he wasn't totally crazy at this time yet either. Like, people didn't see him as a crazy person yet.
No, he was absolutely off. Like, he was always Dan Aykroyd. Dan Aykroyd has always loved the UFO. He just wasn't
a little wacky.
His whole family has loved it.
But he's always had like a Hollywood reputation that he did not totally. He was in like that movie with Sean William Scott around this time.
Right.
Evolution, you know.
He was going to be doing SNL this week or the next week too, because actually the day this all happened, Aykroyd stepped outside to light a cigarette, he says. And he got a phone call, and it was Britney Spears who was calling him at the time to talk about the SNL episode they were going to be on together.
Fucking surreal.
Right? Is that while he was on the phone, he said he turned and looked out onto 42nd Street in New York and noticed a black SUV with a tall man dressed in black giving him a dirty look. Aykroyd turned away, but then did a double take within a matter of a second, and the car and the man were gone. 2 hours after that, Aykroyd and the entire cast were then told that the show had been canceled completely and would never air. To this day, at the time of this, of me reading this particular article, which was in 2018, they were never given a reason why. They recorded 8 episodes, they had been finished, but the show had been canned, and that was the end of it. The end. That was his Men in Black encounter. He saw him, he disappeared, and then a couple hours later, without a reason, Sci-Fi canceled the show, just swallowed the money they spent and moved on.
Which did happen.
That did happen. Correct.
Oh, whether you meant they canceled Saturday Night Live. I was like, No.
They canceled because he was in the middle of recording. Let me repeat. He was working on a documentary for Sci-Fi Channel.
Right.
Yeah, and he had 8 episodes done. They were almost done. They were ready to air. They were getting close to airing, but it got canned last minute. After what? This coming 2 hours after he says he saw a man in black and a black UFO. Again, that for me doesn't necessarily scream Man in Black. It screams closer to government than anything else, than something weird like an alien or some bizarre extra dimensional creature. But that's why I tie the Dan Aykroyd thing into the government theory, because that seems to fit the easiest.
It doesn't. Well, yeah. The idea of an alien bullying someone into not looking into aliens seems stupid to me compared to a human organization doing it.
I want to proffer an additional theory.
Sure.
That maybe just the show was canceled and Dan Aykroyd was like, what's a great story to tell rather than say the show was canceled? Oh, I saw a man in black. Just put it out there. Just put it out in the ether that maybe he lied. Maybe.
It's still, even if he did lie and the man in black was not there, he never saw him, the show still got weirdly abruptly canceled and left in the dust.
Do you know what it was covering?
It was ufology.
Well, like, was it like the Phoenix ufology. Lights? Was it like...
I don't have any details. It just said they were working on a documentary for him, and that's the only details I have.
God damn. I wish I knew him. If there's one person I wish I could like talk to about the paranormal and see how they reacted. Accurate. Yeah, because I want to know if he's just like one of those guys that you just got to check out after a while, or if he's like...
I would love to have him on the podcast. Are you fucking kidding me?
I would love to talk to him about it.
Aykroyd has also had two UFO encounters as well. Both of them relatively positive, he claims. So, I don't know. It's weird. It's definitely something interesting. But as brought up, you know, moving on, because we could linger on this all day, the next and second most accepted theory before we start going into the nonsense is obviously Men in Black are a type of alien or an alien species working with the government or some sort of bio android that was created by alien technology that are working for them. So you might be saying, like Alex said, well, why? Why would the aliens want to stop us from discovering or releasing this information? And unfortunately, the most accepted answer in this theory is nefarious, that the aliens are trying to stop us from realizing because we are currently under their control. Where they're pets / slaves / useful idiots. And if we ever figure it out, we could retaliate or turn on them or no longer be useful to them. And it goes as far as Oregon energy, or our energy wouldn't be able to be harvested anymore, to just simple as we're not ready and they don't want us to lose our minds not knowing about them yet. And so the easiest way is through these weird intimidation tactics through the Men in Black. Now, are the Men in Black a particular species? Do they work with a particular type of alien? There's no answer for that. We don't know. We have no idea if they work for anybody, if they're their own thing in this particular theory, only that it's similar to the government in that they want to keep us controlled as a populace. And so this is the easiest way to do it for them.
It just seems like if I was an alien who could like make a biological android to do my bidding, like maybe my way of doing this would just like be to like go to Dan Aykroyd and like erase his brain. Like, you know what I mean? Like just like Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind him and be like, or incept him, like, you don't want to do this anymore. You should quit. Like, why would you leave a story behind like that to tell?
Well, I mean, we have examples. If you look at the abduction scenarios, right? The Greys or whoever usually abducts us usually wipes that part of our memory, but it's never a full wipe. It's not like they remove the memory. They kind of just paint over it. They canvas over it or they suppress it in some way. Cause if you poke enough, the memory comes back.
Reveries.
And yeah, Westworld. I've never seen the show Westworld, so
trust me, it's a huge spoiler.
Okay, great, sweet. but I mean that. So even if they did, like, there's no real guarantee. It's just the way the brain handles thing, and that kind of goes to the idea of like our brain's just a fleshy computer, and you can't really. We might be dealing with an operating system that doesn't mingle with our particular hardware, if that makes sense.
That's
and so
true.
They're doing their best to try and keep us calm, but like our brain just cannot comprehend what the hell is happening. We're too stupid. We're still low on the evolutionary ladder. We just haven't evolved far enough.
Yeah. I mean, it's wild. Like, have you seen that woman counting who it's like, they're like count to 10 and she's like 1, 2, 3. And then like touch her brain. And she's like,
no.
And then they take it off and she's like 7, 8.
No, I have not.
Recently this woman,
the violin. Yeah.
The violin woman. Did you see that?
No. What is this violin?
The doctors
woman?
Had her. So with brain surgery, a lot of the time you don't go under for it because they need to kind of like track to make sure that you're not like fucked forever.
Yeah.
So
they're watching you.
She's a concert violinist. She was really serious about not losing her ability to play the violin through mm-hmm. this brain surgery. So dead ass, they literally draped the thing over her head and she was like, all right. And just started like playing the violin throughout the whole surgery. So that if they like touched the wrong place and she's just started like fucking up the violin. Yeah. They could like fix it.
Wow. That's wild. That's cool though. Brain is weird, dude. The brain is fascinating.
I'm just saying if it's hard to imagine the brain as a computer, like,
It is, because it's not really one, right? It's just the closest comparison we have because, you know, we're trying to replicate it with computers in our own way.
It's a processor, right?
Like, yeah, exactly. Well, that actually goes to cross promo for your Cox and Crendor. Didn't you guys recently just talk about the nature of reality? And
yeah, kind of. I mean, the conversation started on Twitter when people were talking about whether you talk to yourself in your own head. And Eric talks to himself and has like real conversations in his head. And I have never had that. Not
really?
Once have I ever been like, hey, Jesse, what do you think we should do about this thing? Well,
not even subconsciously, but never on purpose either. Like you've actively been like,
I tried. So I was taking garbage to the dump, literally down the dump. And so I was taking garbage out, and I was actively trying to do that. And I said in my head, okay, Jesse, what do we need to do next? And then I blanked. It was like a blank. It was like, and nothing happened.
I can do it. I can do it for the bit, but my brain absolutely does not work that way.
Yeah, I wonder if it has to do with over time. I think because a lot of people I talk to who are like this, it's not that they aren't thinking, it's that they're thinking so quickly that they're trying. And I wonder if it has to do with things like, for example, with Alex, timing and comedy and, improv class, like where it's don't think about it, just go. And so,
I guess
brain,
that's true.
You're just
like
get it out. And so you don't have the time to ponder. Meanwhile, Crendor is talking about how like he gets on a plane and has a 45 minute conversation about how he's going to die terribly. And I'm like, I get on a plane and fall asleep.
Like, oh yeah. I don't have it like
difference.
That.
Yeah.
I'm closer to you where like, it's why I stumble so much because I talk faster than I can think. Like as the words are coming out of my mouth, it's like me trying to take my thoughts and just form them into a sentence. And it just ends up jumbled. But I definitely don't have like 45 minute conversations with myself, but occasionally I'll have like a quick banter or something, but
yeah, well, I think it goes down to why I don't also, like, I have a lot of friends and peers who suffer from, like, traumatizing anxiety. It really destroys a lot of their functionality during the day. And me, I do not understand it. Like, I support them. I've never gotten it.
Me.
Because I don't have, like, I guess I just assume everything will be fine. And so brain-wise, I'm not, like, stressed about stuff because I don't think about it. And maybe that's also a problem where I don't think about
See,
it a
I'm
lot.
The other way. I have that anxiety where I will take a problem and I will rip it apart and, like, play out every scenario that could possibly go wrong before I act on it, which is why I'm always so fucking nervous all the time.
But what if the idea of aliens coming to this planet and visiting us was so scary that your brain, instead of just talking to itself, created a man who visited you?
Well,
for
that's
real.
Exact. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. That's what the Tulpa idea is, and we're gonna get to that.
Well,
so
this goes to, there's another thing that we talked about online, which is about visualizing stuff in your brain and how the online, like I think the tweet was like visualize an apple, and like just think about an apple in your head. What do you see? And there was a chart, and it was like, do you see a full, lush, red apple? And it went all the way down to sort of the geometric shape of an apple. And for me, I don't even see the geometric shape of an apple. I know
only
what
when you
an
close
apple
your eyes?
Is. Like, if I close my eyes and I try my hardest, I cannot visualize an apple. I see the backs of my eyelids, right?
I mean, I guess I do too, but I also know, like, I can imagine
a
perfect
the
apple.
I know the concept of an apple. I know what that apple's supposed to look like. But there are people who are just like, oh, I see it. I visualize that apple and it's delicious.
So I wonder
if those are the people who are more susceptible to than seeing like a dude show up in their backyard,
right?
Like that kind
of
thing.
I'm actually interested in asking, have you ever directed at Jesse? Like behind the camera, directed anything small?
Sure, but I have the vision of what I want it to look like.
Right, in your
like,
head, right?
But it's not like it's more, I don't want to say mathematical.
I don't do it. I don't do it, like, by choice.
Yeah, I know what I want it to be. I know the vibe I want. I know kind of, like, where I want things to be set up and stuff. But I don't have, like, the grand map of it all. I'm not, like, Spielbergian where I've already planned the movie in my head. So I know.
Yeah,
I don't
yeah.
have that. It's weird.
And what about you when you play D&D? Because that's a lot up here, too.
Sure, but I write everything down. And
that's fair.
And
yeah, I'm the other way. I'm an on the spot GM who just kind of like, I can see it in my head. And so I can like, I have the camera directed as I'm playing it. And like, I can see all this stuff happening.
Well, I also know what I want it to be versus what, how I see things going. I don't know. I never,
it's cool. It's fascinating. It all boils down to
of thought, I guess.
It all boils down to how do they work? Right.
Yeah.
And the idea of Men in Black and them being aliens and stuff, kind of rewinding back there, kind of leaping from the government idea, and we're going to go in a little bit, sticking with the aliens. We actually talked a little bit about this in the first episode as well, when you brought up Injured Cold, with the idea of them not actually being government workers. In fact, they're more alien hunters.
What? Like so predators?
There's a theory out there. And that Injured Cold is, in fact, a man in black, and that he is one of many of a species that people have mistaken for men in black. They don't actually exist. They're just a separate alien species altogether. And that the men in black are here for something along the lines of, say, the Mothman. And that the Mothman is a creature that doesn't belong here on Earth, and that they are here specifically to hunt down these creatures and get them off the planet or get them off world and make us safe. And to deal with that and deal with the people who have met up with them, they encounter them, try to stop them from pursuing it any further, that it's not something they should worry about and don't worry about it, and that they're going to take care of it, et cetera, et cetera. That is a theory as well that kind of like is a sub-theory under the alien theory. And that Injured Cold was there specifically hunting for the Mothmen. Because they're not Mothmans, they're not Mothmen, they're just another alien species that have found themselves on Earth.
Like Dennis Rodman.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Dennis Rodman, yeah, exactly.
That math teacher, Elvis, yeah.
Yeah, all the men in black, you know, things that run
Michael
across
Jackson
that board.
At the end, I believe, was
yeah.
A
oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly.
That joke aged really well.
However, I find it that one the most silly. Injured Cold in himself, and as we talked about the Mothman in general, like that was a, you know, there's so many different ways you could explain most Mothman sightings of the past, and obviously as technology got better, the photoshopping of it all in the future. The last one before we worry really go into the Tulpa and like the last layer is the idea that they are in some way time police, that they are here to ensure that any meddling, that UFOs or aliens that are coming through and visiting, they're not from other worlds. That they are, in fact, from other times. This feeds into the idea that aliens aren't aliens, and that reality and time is something we truly do not understand, and that we are, that these aliens are coming in from another time, and they are and that the men in black are kind of the counterbalance to that, to try and stop them from fucking with this place too much. It also kind of links into that alien hunter idea, but in a different way, and that UFOs are unnatural, and these aliens that we're meeting are not aliens, but more hyper-evolved species from thousands of years in the future, and that's what they're here for as well. Again, not a lot on that theory out there, but there's that theory.
I like that. I mean, look, I don't believe it, but I like
it. Yeah, but it's fun, yeah, right? You can make a story out of it, TV show, book, comic, whatever.
It's
there's a
good concept, yeah.
Yeah. However, the one that is philosophically most intriguing, and the one we talked about a little bit already, is the idea that they are tulpas, mythical entities, dimension hoppers, a creation of the collective unconscious, that men in black merely exist because, one, we were kind of made aware of them on a mass scale in the early 50s, and that thought seed was planted into everybody who read about it in their mind. As time went on, and then we got movies and comics, it became even more prominent in our minds, in that if you believe in the Tulpa and the creation of these entities or thought creatures or thought beings, that we sort of created them, that they weren't real, but because so many people believed that they were real, they sort of became real, that they've manifested themselves, that we created them, and they've kind of separated and become this thing. And that's why so many are so different, that the encounters are so different.
Like killer clowns.
Yeah, exactly. Like, kind of like killer clowns. that there's that running theme, because we all believe that the men in black, at the very least, do X, Y, and Z. But the details, both physically, like their smell, the way they talk, the way they threaten or sometimes don't, are all variables, because they're not really a cohesive creature. They were created out of our own thoughts. And now that they kind of exist in our reality or in our plane, it could be just the brain projecting, right? That they might actually be there, but the brain is saying that they're there. And so long as the brain says that they're there, they are now there for us because that is how reality is interpreted.
Have you heard of this book, The Selection Effect?
No.
No.
I don't really know that much about it because I only read over this glancingly, but it's about, I'm going to read the Kindle thing. It says, The Selection Effect explores a personal training process that allows consciousness to influence real-world physical events in ways that cannot be attributed to brain activity alone, like physical effects on the physical world, by focusing your consciousness. And I don't exactly know exactly what that means in a way that I could explain it to you fully, but I know that the guy sat there and pressed spacebar for like a million times to like create a situation where something would happen, and there's like research in the book and stuff. It's by a guy called Herb Mertz.
And can you just reiterate one more time what's the book about? It's about not.
Yeah, it's mind interacting with matter. So
gotcha.
He basically went on a journey like himself to figure this out, and he created a random event generator that he like was able to influence by focusing on it with his consciousness.
Interesting. That sounds like an interesting read, even if I don't believe any of that stuff of what he said, but like affecting your like physicality with your mind. I don't understand how you would go about that.
Influencing an outcome, influencing a range of outcomes. It's
just by thinking about it.
Yeah. And focusing on it. It's like almost like Schrodinger, but like,
well, that kind of sounds like the idea of chaos magic, right?
Or yes.
The secret.
Yes.
Like that kind of thing.
Yes.
Where you focus your reality to be something and it becomes that way.
Yeah. It's like the baby steps to like the idea
you
of.
You can say that Illuminati is successful because we so heavily wanted it to
it's
be successful.
It's because of C-Day.
So we made it our reality.
It's because of C-Day that we're doing so much better on listens now.
Exactly. Jesse, I think, rolled his eyes like three times during that whole conversation.
Well, it's always, what is it? It's that mind over matter that like,
of course.
If you can perceive it, you can achieve it. Like that kind of slogan and stuff. Sure. I always think that conceptually that's fine. I don't know that there's any evidence that like you can will something to exist, but I think if you focus enough energy on it, I think there's a, yeah, I mean, on a base level, fine.
That's fine. I'll take it, dude. Because we're about to go metaphysical here, so you kind of have to like deep breath. So what if Men in Black, and more than that, maybe even on a broader spectrum, aliens or ghosts and all this stuff, what if they're not what we believe them to be? And more than they're just tulpas, what if there's an entity, greater or is reality, that we cannot see, that exists, and that when we do these things, we are kind of bringing this entity in some fashion into our reality?
Like
and so
Freddy?
Yes, like Freddy. It's like Freddy.
Yeah.
Freddy, but he is also the all-knowing entity in that he is existing in all things.
Right.
What I guess you would consider God or just some sort of entity that we cannot perceive. And when we do these things, when we see aliens or these creatures know of it, it's more of like a slice of this entity's consciousness being brought into our world. And that's why they're so fucking weird, because they're trying to figure out what the hell's going on or how to operate in such a way. Like dimension hopping or reality crossing. That's another theory that's out there, that these that Men in Black, and on a broader scale, aliens and stuff are kind of this slice off of this all-knowing entity. And even broader still, there's the belief, some believe, that humans are also part of that. Like, we are merely little pieces of this greater consciousness that is here to exist and experience three-dimensional life as an experience for this particular entity. Which kind of rolls into reincarnation in some religions, et cetera, which you can kind of see how all that ties in. But that's another one as well, that these things are just a slice off of something greater. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, that goes into like psychedelics and trying to see beyond and perceiving things that our brain can't even perceive. Don't shake your head, Jesse. Don't shake your head.
I'm ready for this. I love this stuff. It's always so funny to me that it just seems like someone got really high one day and they're just like, beyond.
But that's,
man,
what's so fascinating about psychedelics is like, it's just your brain seeing different shit, right? Like what, like psilocybin mushrooms or whatever, just flood your brain with the dream chemical. something that your brain creates naturally. Sure. It just fucking floods it.
I think all of this relating to the brain is fascinating.
I agree.
I think the possibility of, like, I unlocked an alternate reality. I don't know if that's true, but I love the fact that, you know, birds and shrimp can see colors we can't see. Like, there's stuff that we can't perceive that I think it's interesting to think about when you say, like, oh, I unlocked a part of my brain. I saw some
weird
stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I believe that definitely can happen. I just am over here like, and then you unlock the fifth dimension? I don't know about that.
Oh,
but.
Listen,
you know,
dude, the Men in Black have to come from somewhere, man. They have to come from somewhere.
It's just interesting to think about the fact that the deeper you go into psychedelics, the craziness of how similar everyone's experiences on them are. Like the amount of similarities, the way that you can almost like guide someone through it. There is some sort of element to our brain chemistry or to the way that we formulate thoughts that we don't fully understand, the way that we can communicate with each other in a second, huge pieces of information. It's so imperceptible to us, and yet our brain does it. I just feel like the power of the brain is very, very vast, and the idea that, like, if you know about Men in Black and you're already paranoid and you know you learn something, like, I could see how it could happen. I could see how you could experience it, even if it didn't happen for real, or if it did happen, you know, maybe it's like it doesn't matter if it's real.
Well, it's similar too in the fact that there's a lot of reports of people who go on mushrooms, or do they do was it ayahuasca? What's the drink?
Sure.
Yeah,
I can't remember.
That's it.
But a lot, whatever it is, like those things where they bring it. There's a lot of people who see very, like you said, similar stuff, and on top of that, like there's people who see a lot of your typical classic gray type aliens in those bizarre realities of big almond eyes and gray skin and expressionless lips. It's weird. It's really weird, but it's fascinating. I'm not saying it's aliens, and I'm not saying it's definitely these extra dimensional creatures, but it is fascinating that there's this through line in a lot of these things. And whether that's because it's already in our consciousness in some way or something else or whatever you want to believe, it's still just absolutely interesting to see these things. And the Men in Black, you know, while the first episode was much more rooted in reality, unfortunately, once we leave that part, the Men in Black become much more nebulous in what they actually are. There's very little out there on them beyond just wild theories. So with all of that said, beyond just little things like maybe they're a cryptid or just like little theories that are more or less kind of forgotten, those, my boys, are the major theories on who and what the Men in Black are. Everything from Satan's right-hand men from the old days, to government workers, aliens, alien hunters, time police, or tulpas, entities, extra-dimensional hoppers. Men in Black, one thing's for sure. People believe that they exist. They're there to stop you from spilling secrets. But whether they actually exist or not is something we still don't know and perhaps never will.
It's really like a thing that is fascinating because it really could be the key to all of this stuff that we experience. Like the idea that your brain can do things like the way, like, I mean, think about the placebo effect for a second.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, how crazy is that? How insane is
the fact
that
you can do nothing but your brain thinks you are, so it makes it real.
You can take a drug that's not actually the drug and get the effect of the drug. You know what I mean? That's true. You, like, that's not something that's like debatable. Like, that happens. You know what I mean? Like, we didn't think it at first and now we believe it. And to me, that's, you know, the more you know, like, why is it that people who know a lot about aliens always see aliens is because, you know,
they know what to look for.
Yeah. I don't think it's an overactive imagination so much as it is this sort of like self-fulfilling prophecy that you kind of create by like quantum physics almost. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to think about.
And like the things about like tulpas and like these spiritual beings, these are hundreds and thousands of year old ideas. Like, these have been around forever. They're not new. And so thinking of like a Men in Black, just be like you said, kind of just being brought in through consciousness or thought or whatever, kind of being made real. It's possible. It's possible that the brain believes that they're seeing what they're seeing. I mean, night terrors, right? Like people who wake up with night terrors, who see things in their room, whether it's not there, it's not really there, but it's there for them. And sometimes it's all that matters for the effect of staying silent or scaring yourself quiet to happen. It could be these people don't want to talk about it and they're looking for an excuse not to. And so they conjure up this person to tell them never to talk about it.
And is that now, like, even if it's just a thought, a common thought that everybody has, you know, like, is that not a cryptid itself? Like,
right.
If you go on SCP, aren't there like viral thoughts that infect the populace?
Well, it's like, how many times have we had crimes committed in the names of fake monsters?
That's what I mean. Or like, just like, look at like, what's his name? The stupid, like political, what's his name? The like Reddit thing that all the like super right wing, like,
you know, QAnon?
Yeah, QAnon. Like, people are acting on the things that they are understanding off of this, even though there's nothing there.
Even after it's been provably like false over and over and over and over and over and over again, if they believe, they're just going to keep going because that's what they think is real.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. What's fun about Men in Black, I kind of realized, is like, it really boils down to the idea of reality and the nature of thought and what you believe is actually in existence. So, boys.
It's just rare to imagine something paranormal that shows up that's like, don't believe in this shit. Like,
yeah.
You know, that's a really unique element of the Men in Black mythos.
Yeah. And obviously, you know, there's going to be a lot of them that are, you know, cry wolf kind of deals where people are just saying it for the sake of saying it. But there's enough out there that aren't that, in my opinion, that at least lead credence to a government spooks might be out there trying to shut you the fuck up. And that's the end of it, you know?
Yeah.
But boys, that was the two-parter on Men in Black, the reality and the supernatural in two separate parts. I can't believe we've been babbling for like almost an hour already. And I'm just like, there's so much you could just... It's so much fun. It's so much fun. It was good to get back into the alien world again, too. It had been much, much, much too long. But that was a good time.
And real talk, pour one out for Tichiba. That was some bullshit. That whole... Nothing yeah, pisses absolutely. Me off more than the Salem Witch Trials. Like, reading about it. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Awful. It's the worst. Humans suck, dude, in the name of religion. Yeah. Humans fucking
yeah,
suck.
Yeah, dude, it sucks.
They're the absolute worst. But hey, everybody, thank you so much for listening. We appreciate it. Next, I don't know who's next. All three of us have stuff cooking for, cause I still got that big one that we're working on, but Alex is almost done. Jesse's got something he's working on. We got a lot coming down the pipeline. Also big shout out on the podcast to Tim for, creating that fan game, the Illuminati fan game.
Axolotl Studios. Yeah.
Yeah. Check it out. It's free to play. It's like a Illuminati Pod Maniac Mansion. It's great.
Yeah. It's very fun. It's very fast.
Thank you again for that special second anniversary gift. We love you very much for it. Yeah, I think that's it. So we're going to wrap up here. Thank you, boys, for joining me and letting me take you down the insane route for another couple of episodes.
Hell if yeah, you guys my guy.
If you guys enjoyed it, leave us a review. We are now at like almost 1,100 reviews on iTunes. We still have that 5-star rating. We love you guys for that. If you want, we got merch. We got new merch in the works. We got merch already up there for sale, so grab it while you can over at the Yeti. And if you want to talk to us, you can do so on Twitter. Jesse Cox for Jesse, Mathis Games for myself, Fasciane A for Alex. And if you just want to yell at the Illuminati podcast as a whole, Illuminati Pod on Twitter and the Illuminati Pod subreddit. We've got some reader stories coming up soon, too. So if you got stories, feel free to throw them out. Just give us the okay to read them on the podcast. And I think that's it for the shilling. I think. Thank you all for watching, listening. We'll see you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Stay fly.
Shout out to Abigail Williams.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.